Welcome to the show. With the SARS-CoV-2 event in the rearview mirror, the mainstream media has gone dark in terms of reporting pretty much anything about mRNA products. Because of that, you're likely unaware that various governments and big pharma are moving forward with plans to put more mRNA products into your body. You're also likely unaware of the results of scientific studies over the last few years revealing the harmful effects mRNA products have on the human body. So, while billion-dollar plans are moving forward to put more mRNA products into your body, there is a media blackout on what research is telling us about the harm those products do. Today, I'm going to run down a list of the things science now knows about the mRNA products that you won't hear from any media outlet.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. As a physiologist back in 2020 and 2021, I understood that nearly everything being put out by the federal government, state governments, and the media about SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, and the mRNA jab was not factual. You can call it misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, or just call it lying, but the official narrative was non-credible. If I were to give you an analogy regarding my reaction to what I heard from government and media in 20 and 21, it would be as if you turned on the news and saw a medical expert say the human body does not use and does not need oxygen. This is today's question. Should anyone, in their right mind, allow an mRNA product to be injected into them? The information I'm going to share with you today will allow you to make an informed decision on that. If you follow me for any length of time, you know I never tell anybody what to do. Today, I'll share with you the results of numerous studies and reports the media is not telling you about, so you can make up your own mind. Beginning in 2021, when the mRNA product, mischaracterized as a vaccine, was rolled out, the public was denied the right of informed consent because virtually all of the publicly available information was false. A person who looks for information but only receives falsehoods is misinformed, not informed. A person who is misinformed by government and media is deprived of the ability to exercise informed consent. My goal is to ensure that as plans proceed to get the public to accept more mRNA injections, you will be able to exercise informed consent. To that end, I'm going to share with you what independent research has revealed over the last few years. In many of my presentations, I lay foundation and then build the layers of evidence, culminating in an unavoidable conclusion to which the evidence leads. I can't do that with this subject because many of the harmful effects of the mRNA injections are intertwined. For that reason, you should not impute that any particular harmful effect is better or worse than another based on the order in which they are presented. Also, I'm not going to delve into the science of each issue. This presentation is intended to provide you with information you won't get from the media or government. It's an overview, not a class on physiology or pharmacology. Before I get rolling, later in the show, I'm going to knowingly and intentionally put myself squarely in the crosshairs of the U.S. government. So stay with me for that. With that under our belts, let's get started. The first problem we'll look at is what we can refer to as the dosing problem. Let me explain what that means. When a doctor gives you a drug to address a condition or disease you're experiencing, the amount of the drug is tailored to the circumstance in which it is given. There is a dosage that is presumed to be efficacious. Too little won't get the job done, and too much is dangerous. That dose is set by the doctor when he or she writes the prescription. Now, imagine a drug that randomly alters its dosage once inside your body. To illustrate this, let's say a diabetic injects 3 units of insulin after a meal, but the insulin, on its own, can decrease its effect to the equivalent of 0.5 unit or increase its effect to the equivalent of 10 units. Such a product would be dangerous as hell. In fact, it would be life-threatening. Imagine the same phenomenon with morphine. A person experiencing pain is given a 10 milligram injection, but once inside the person, the morphine randomly decreases its potency to the equivalent of 1 milligram, or increases its potency to the equivalent of 200 milligrams, which is fatal. Understanding the importance of drugs being delivered in the proper dosage, it may surprise you to learn that no one can control the level of antigenic response your body has to an mRNA injection. That's because each person's body responds differently to the presence of the spike protein created by the presence of the mRNA product. Although everyone was injected with the same quantity of the mRNA product, the response of each person's body cannot be predicted or controlled. In some people, the response is uselessly low. In others, it will be dangerously high. In one case report, a woman's immune system responded to the mRNA-initiated spike protein with 100 times anything that could be considered normal, which is life-threatening. In short, when a person gets injected with mRNA, they are playing Russian roulette with their health. The next issue is that the lipid nanoparticles, which contain the mRNA, do not remain at the injection site. The claim by Pfizer, the U.S. government, and health experts back in 2021 that the lipid nanoparticles remain at the injection site was arguably the most absurd lie of the many lies told. My reaction to that claim was immediate, and it went like this. The mRNA manufacturers must show the world a completely novel mechanism by which lipid nanoparticles anchor themselves to the cells around the injection site. If Pfizer and Moderna can't show that such a novel mechanism exists, then they're lying. Since neither Pfizer nor Moderna claim such a novel invention was in their mRNA products, which they certainly would have boasted about if that was the case, it was child's play to know that Pfizer, Moderna, and the United States government were knowingly, willfully, and intentionally lying to the American people. Today, we know lipid nanoparticles travel throughout the entire body. Lipid nanoparticles have been found in every part of the body, including the brain and reproductive organs. So, problem number two is lipid nanoparticles do not remain at the injection site. But why, you ask, is lipid nanoparticles traveling to every part of your body a problem? That question brings us to problems two and three. Problem number two is the spike proteins being produced by healthy cells throughout your body. Problem number three is your body's immune system killing otherwise healthy cells in response to those cells creating spike proteins, with the killing of those healthy cells harming organs. Lipid nanoparticles are the vessels, the cargo containers, in which the mRNA resides. After traveling throughout your body, when the lipid nanoparticles finally attach themselves to some tissue somewhere in your body, the mRNA goes to work causing the mRNA-infected cells to create spike proteins. Your body then has an antigenic response to the spike protein and sends T cells to attack and kill the cells with spike proteins on their surface. Because those cells were completely healthy before being infected by the mRNA product, your body begins killing those healthy cells. Not only is that dangerous on its face, but that process triggers inflammation in organs that aren't supposed to experience that kind of inflammation. That inflammation can produce a diseased state in organs that were perfectly healthy before the mRNA injection. So, how much damage occurs to organs when their cells have been infected with the mRNA product? That's dependent on a number of factors that are too numerous and complex to get into today, but I would suggest that while how much damage occurs is certainly an important question, the fundamental issue here is that the mRNA injections result in your body killing any healthy cells. If we scale the damage from 1 to 100, with 1 being damage so slight it won't result in any health problems, and 100 being the affected organs functionally will be compromised, my view is that nothing on that scale is acceptable. Slight damage is still damage. The fourth issue is that the mRNA products contain far higher concentrations of plasmid DNA from the manufacturing process than the manufacturers said was the case, and it is 4 to 5 times more than is permissible under federal regulations. Yet, the products continue shipping without pause or restriction. Do you remember when the establishment closed ranks against the Hunter Biden laptop story, telling the public the story was disinformation when, in reality, the story was completely factual? Well, guess what? When independent researchers first discovered the amount of DNA in the mRNA products was much higher than is safe or permissible, the mainstream media branded the story anti-vax disinformation. But then, student researchers working at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's campus in White Oak, Maryland, under the guidance of FDA scientists, found the same thing. Oops. The findings were no longer from independent researchers the media could falsely portray as quacks spreading disinformation. Now, the DNA problem was documented in a U.S. government laboratory. According to the National Institutes of Health, DNA that has the ability to copy itself, which is the defining characteristic of plasmid DNA, could interfere with the host's ability to manage genetic elements, potentially leading to health issues. That's the NIH saying it, not me. So the very thing that NIH says can potentially lead to health issues, that has been found to exist in the mRNA products, that the media called disinformation, then, despite the finding being replicated in an FDA lab, the FDA has taken no action to halt the distribution of the mRNA products. I want to point out that when the media said the plasmid DNA story was disinformation, the media was spreading disinformation. Phrased another way, the media's claim of disinformation was itself disinformation. This is what I mean when I say the American people are being deprived of their right to informed consent. Before I continue, if you value this sort of information, which you likely won't get anywhere else, please take a moment to subscribe to the channel and hit the like button so the algorithms will show this content to more people. Also, at the end, I have a special offer for you, so stay with me for that. You may have noticed a recurring theme today that the mainstream media refuses to run stories about the harm the mRNA products do, or the media simply lies about it, such as branding the factual research concerning plasmid DNA as disinformation. Why is the media lying and concealing facts about the mRNA products from the American people? Simple. For money. 75% of all TV and cable ad revenues come from Big Pharma. How forthcoming would you be with damning information about somebody, if that someone could slash your income by 75% if they don't like what you say? When it comes to media corporations, even a revenue decrease of 2 or 3% is considered unacceptable. So in a very real sense, Big Pharma controls what the media says. As bad as that is, the situation is worse than that, because we haven't accounted for ad revenue from Big Med and Big Food. There are no exact figures for what percentage of network ad revenue comes from the triad of Big Pharma, Big Med, and Big Food, but I guess it's in the range of about 95%, which means you will never hear the truth from the mainstream media that would harm Big Pharma, Big Med, and Big Food. Medical journals are the latest method of preventing Americans from knowing the truth. Those journals now routinely refuse to publish studies that reveal scientific truths Big Pharma, Big Med, and Big Food do not want the public to know. During the SARS-CoV-2 event, studies that had been deemed good science for years, even decades, were removed from medical journals because they were being used to prove the government and media narratives were false. In other words, because the science was being used to prove the government's narrative false, the journals removed the science. Problem number 4 is white fibrous clots found in the veins and arteries of some vaccinated people who have died. This is another story the mainstream media has branded as disinformation and refuses to cover because it would scare the hell out of the public regarding the mRNA products, and rightfully so. Since 2021, embalmers have been finding long, thick, fibrous clots, usually white in color, in some people's veins and arteries. They have been found by embalmers rather than medical examiners because embalmers flush everything out of the corpse's major veins and arteries. Well, medical examiners don't do that. There has not been any research done to determine whether these large fibrous clots are produced before death or after death. The presumption is they grow inside the veins and arteries before death because, in some instances, the embalmers have begun the embalming process within a few hours of death, and the large fibrous clots were already there. The fibrous clots are so large, they occlude a good deal of the vein or artery in which they are present. To give you an idea of how large they can be, some are a quarter of an inch in diameter and reach lengths of 15 to 20 inches. As you might imagine, pushing blood past an obstruction of that size would put tremendous strain on the heart. According to the embalmers who have been forward enough to ask the families of the deceased if the deceased had received the mRNA injection, 100% of the decedents in whom the fibrous clots were found had been injected with an mRNA product. In my opinion, it's noteworthy that none of the embalmers who have reported finding these clots have ever seen them until after the mRNA products rolled out. In other words, pre-2021, they'd never seen these large fibrous clots. Then, in 2021 and beyond, they began appearing. Problem number 5 is that statistical analysis shows that people who receive the mRNA injection are more likely to become infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus than those who did not get the jab. In other words, not only were people like Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, and Michelle Walensky lying when they said a vaccinated person could not become infected or infect others, subsequent research proves a person who took the jab is more likely to become infected than the person who did not. Problem number 6 is that mRNA does not cause the body to produce memory T cells, which is an essential aspect of your body's immune system. That failure is why people need to get another injection every 4 months for the rest of their lives. I'm not going to go into the science of the memory T cell issue here today, but this subject was the final straw that caused YouTube to take down my channel. Today, that video is on Rumble, and I'll put a video link down in the notes. The reason YouTube took down my channel after that video is if the American people had picked up on it and spread the message, the number of people opting to get the jab would have dropped off considerably, which would have cost Pfizer billions of dollars. Once I reveal that the jab does not result in your body producing memory T cells, the jig was up for me at YouTube. I had to be removed. With those 6 documented harms in mind, I'd like to draw your attention to the words of Dr. Newt Witkowski, who is an epidemiologist, disease researcher, and biostatistician. In June 2020, Dr. Witkowski said of COVID-19, quote, "This is a flu. Even if it's a bad flu for those with comorbidities, it is still a flu." Despite many people with zero knowledge of physiology screaming at the time, "It's not a flu!" In reality, it is functionally and diagnostically a flu. But as Dr. Witkowski pointed out, it had a greater impact on people with existing chronic diseases than some previous flus. What Dr. Witkowski was describing is what I call the immune response energy deficit, which is a whole other topic I won't get into today. Though I will say this, every person with whom I worked in 2020, 21, or 22 who had COVID-19 survived, most of them elderly. The ones whose families panicked and had them admitted to hospitals died. They died for several reasons, not the least of which is that because the medical profession fancies itself to be so knowledgeable and so sophisticated, its practitioners are ignorant of the immune response energy deficit principle that I employed to keep people alive who had COVID-19. In 2020, I did an analysis of what the death numbers would have been from SARS-CoV-2 had it been introduced in 1890 rather than 2020. The point of that analysis being that in 1890, 99% of the chronic diseases Americans have today did not exist. My estimate was that the COVID-19 death rate would have been so trivial in 1890 that the illness would not have garnered any attention. The incredibly poor health of the American public was the singular reason SARS-CoV-2 was perceived as being exceptionally dangerous. In other words, it wasn't that the virus was particularly dangerous. It was that a huge percentage of Americans already suffering from so many avoidable diseases transformed the public perception of a relatively normal virus into something it wasn't. My point is that the harm done to millions of Americans by the mRNA product was done by releasing an improperly tested experimental product for no better reason than to assuage the fears of hundreds of millions of Americans who were and are grossly irresponsible about their health. That approach was driven by Big Pharma and its shills in the federal government, such as Fauci and Walensky, so that the improperly tested experimental product could make billions of dollars for FISA. Today, we've covered six of the product-based reasons to reject any future mRNA products, but there is also a law-based reason. My personal rule is I will never allow any product to enter my body if Congress has passed a law preventing me from suing the manufacturer for harm the company product may do to me. The existence of legal immunity literally makes the company's management not want to know about harm exposed during animal testing or human trials. Phrased another way, since the company can't be sued, its executives do not want to be told about the harms that would ethically compel them not to take the product to market. So, how many people have been affected by the harms we've discussed today? Well, no one knows, because the big money players who fund the kind of studies necessary to answer that question aren't funding any studies on this subject. How many people are experiencing health problems from plasmid DNA being injected into their bodies? Who knows? Up until a few months ago, the media was telling the public the existence of the DNA in the mRNA products was disinformation. As we sit here discussing the matter today, I bet not one in 10,000 Americans know they were injected with an unsafe amount of plasmid DNA. If they're not aware, how could they associate a new health problem with the jab? Today, we know the lipid nanoparticles traveled throughout the bodies of every person who was injected, which is 5.5 billion people. How many of that 5.5 billion now have health problems they don't associate with the jab because they thoroughly believe the narrative that the mRNA products are safe and effective? We also can't learn anything from people who say, well, I got the jab and I'm fine, because their statement doesn't prove they're fine. It could mean health problems haven't yet manifested or have manifested, but the person doesn't mentally connect his or her health problems to the mRNA product. Further, because the big money players are not funding studies into potential long-term consequences of having been injected with the mRNA product, no one knows if there are health consequences 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. Not a single well-funded large-scale study is looking at that question. As you might imagine, I had zero interest in getting the jab and did not do so. Was I infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus? I was. How do I know that? I know because in early 2021, I had a test done that looked for SARS-CoV-2 specific antibodies in the blood, and they were there. In other words, like virtually everyone, the virus had entered my body. But unlike virtually everyone, my body promptly destroyed the virus so it could not replicate. For those who aren't aware, viral replication of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in the respiratory tract results in the disease called COVID-19. How did my body destroy the virus immediately in comparison to the hundreds of millions of Americans who had COVID? Simple. My immune system was running at peak performance rather than in a weakened, compromised state. What does that mean? It means my body is operating in ketosis, not the toxic state of glucoses, and I do cardio and resistance training 5 to 7 days a week. Ketosis is the operating mode for which your body is genetically coded, and resistance training is critical to keeping your lymphatic system healthy, without which your immune system cannot operate at peak performance. As I'm making this video, I'm 65 years old, I have zero chronic diseases, take zero medications, and haven't been sick a single day since I shifted my body into ketosis 7 years ago. If you'd like to have that kind of incredible health, go to my website, drreality.news, drreality.news, and pick up a copy of Body Science, my groundbreaking work on human physiology. U.S. government and various trillion-dollar industries have filled your head with so many myths about health and nutrition. Because those myths have been presented to you as science over the years, as you're listening to me right now, you likely are not even aware they're myths. You believe they're facts. Body science will let sunshine in, so you can make up your own mind about what is true and what is not. What I'm about to say may sound cocky, arrogant, but I don't mean it that way. There is no debate about whether the information in body science is the true science of human physiology, because every single person who has read body science and acted on what they learned is today incredibly healthy. But as I always say, please do not believe me sitting here talking to you. Read body science and see the truth for yourself. Speaking of please do not believe me, I'd also like to draw your attention to my book, Income Tax Shattering the Myths, which shows the American people the truth that Congress has never imposed the income tax on you. Stop! Before you click to move on to something else, because what I just said sounds kooky to you, answer just one question for me. How many words of income tax law have you read? I don't mean forms, publications, or something on a website. I mean actual tax law, which would be statutes enacted by Congress or tax regulations promulgated by the Secretary of the Treasury. I'll even let you include Treasury decisions, which are technically not law. So how many income tax statutes, regs, or Treasury decisions have you read? For 99.9% of you, the answer is none. In comparison to none, I've been reading income tax statutes, regs, and Treasury decisions for more than 3 decades. Who do you think knows the truth about the income tax? People who never read a word of it, or someone who's been reading it for 3 decades? My point is that perhaps it is unwise to dismiss something as kooky or untrue if the person sharing it with you is the national expert on the subject. In the absence of reading the statutes, regs, or Treasury decisions, all you're left with is you've been consuming the government's propaganda, its disinformation on the subject, your entire life. And to be clear, the difference between the government's public propaganda and what the law really says is the difference between day and night. I'll give you another indicator. Tens of thousands of Americans have read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Some have even read it for the sole purpose of proving me wrong. Upon completion, every single reader, including the ones who read it to prove me wrong, discovered that the income tax has never been imposed on ordinary hardworking Americans like you. What's the practical difference between knowing what the law says versus having one's head filled with government propaganda? Let's compare. I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years. How much did you get raped for last year? That's the difference right there. I keep what's mine because I know what the law says. You give your shit away because you don't. Also, in case it didn't quite click for you, I just said on social media that I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years. And I say it every chance I get. I say it in these videos and podcasts. I say it when I'm interviewed on shows across the country. Why do I say it? I say it because I have nothing to fear. Do you know why I have nothing to fear? Are you ready? Really? Ready? I have nothing to fear because I know what the law says. Remember earlier I said that I was going to intentionally put myself in the crosshairs of the United States government? So, a mea culpa. I was misleading you a bit to get you to this point so I could point out to you that because I know the law, I am not putting myself in any crosshairs. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm obeying the law. What a concept! Americans are terrified of the IRS, and they should be, because they're too fucking stupid to read a book. Imagine choosing to be terrified of our servant government rather than reading one book. If that isn't the definition of stupid, I don't know what is. Of course, I'm speaking of all those other Americans, not you. Because if you had the choice of being a terrified, whiny little bitch or reading a book, you'd read the book, right? Right? Aristotle said this, "You will never do anything in this world without courage. It is the greatest quality of the mind next to honor." Courage and honor or terrified, whiny little bitch? Tough choice, huh? Let me help you with that by offering you a special on my website, drreality.com. Any order that contains income tax shattering the myths gets free shipping. Just use the code TARIFFS at checkout. I'm going to suggest you purchase the 4-pack containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, The Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, The Business Handbook for Forms W-9, 1099, and U.S. Person, and Body Science. The first reason to get the 4-pack is the price is already deeply discounted from purchasing those four items individually. The second reason is that in addition to it being deeply discounted, you get free shipping with the code TARIFFS. Also, purchasing my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Thanks for sharing your time with me today.